Hello, welcome everyone to the fourth and final interview of the VIP Spotlight interviews on, excuse me, discovering the ancient temple secrets of Ephesus. Today we have a very special guest who is a private client of mine and a collaborator as well, and she's going to share her powerful breakthroughs and discoveries and experiences while on her one-on-one VIP retreat with me at the ancient city of Ephesus. During these 4 days, you're going to discover and learn how to up-level your prospering spirit-led design practice and pioneer the new earth architecture while making a healing impact on earth. This is meant to inspire you, these interviews, and show you what's possible when you bridge spirit with architecture, spirit with art, spirit with design. And this is about, building a movement, women, the ones who hear the call to birth the temples of the future, and heal this planet, bring balance back, but also a new kind of creativity, a new impulse that we very much need on this planet to evolve, evolve in the most holistic way, and to lay very important foundations for the next seven generations and beyond. For those of you who don't know where Ephesus is located close to the ancient city, or the city currently called Izmir, which is the main port city of Turkey. It's about an hour and a half drive away. And it was a big, big mystery school center, a bridge between East and West, and at its high times in the Hellenistic and pre-Hellenistic periods, it was, you could say, melting pot of so many different cultures. Great philosophers came to this site, artists, the great minds of ancient Greece and beyond, and of course the Arab world, North Africa, it was, I think, at its high times, like 300,000 people were living in Ephesus, and Rudolf Steiner actually talked about Ephesus in its high times was a peak of humanity, and that it was fully at its ripest, most vital stage. And so there's a lot to learn from Ephesus, especially as women architects and designers and creators. So and it's a big mystery too. It continues to remain as a big mystery that is unfolding for myself and for my clients who have experienced the unique energies of this place. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I am an architect, an alchemical healer, and the creator of the Sacred Blueprint. This is a cutting-edge vessel of courses and programs for women architects and designers, as well as property owners and land stewards, guiding them on how to birth their dream sanctuaries through a new modality that bridges spirit with architecture. I am very, very excited to be having this conversation today with a very dear and beloved client of mine, Anemona Krishan. She is a visual and site-specific artist. And she heard the call one day to reach out to me, and introduce herself and what she does. And that evolved into me, into us entering into a partnership, a mentoring partnership, where I supported her in birthing a totally new way, perspective, impulse for art to bring and weave back the realm of spirit in this new impulse. She will share more about it. Before Anemona introduces herself, make sure you all stay until the end. I have an exciting announcement to share connected to Ephesus. Make sure you are focusing on today's interview and not multitasking, and giving yourself this space to receive all the keys, codes, wisdom that is coming through this conversation. Higher wisdom is coming through this conversation today, and delighted you all joined. So Anemona Krishan, welcome into today's interview. It's such a delight and honor to have you in this space.
Thank you so much, Aisha. Thank you for having me. It's really such a big joy. I've been excited like the last days. I'm like, oh, someday. it's amazing to be here. Thank you, everybody who joins live and later maybe in a replay. Where to begin? I mean, we've been like our collaboration and our mentorship, you know, your mentorship and my learning from you has been amazing, has been an amazing journey for me of, you know, revealing more of myself, of my authentic self as an artist, and removing actually what is not me, what is coming from the outside judgments and all these things we all know, the false self in a way, things we strive for but are actually not the things we are interested in. And also the spiritual approach that is very down to earth. It's not like, you know, woo-woo, but really embodying this knowledge, this intuition we actually all have to a certain extent, but we just ignore it. And it's like, no, you know, the last thing we listen to, but actually it's our power, our creativity. And this is a lot connected to feminine energy within us, women especially. So this has been a journey together that has taught me so much as an artist who is actually, I mean, I'm coming from a classical education at the academy, so I'm a painter, as you can see. I'm in my studio right now. You can see some new works. I'm going to tell you more about that later because they're connected to Artemis. It happened, what happened there and how it influenced me, actually. And what, yeah, the experience is there. But why I also am working with Aisha is because I have a big interest in architecture. So there is this, interest in how architecture works, how art can be, my art can be like, a symbiosis, can create a symbiosis with architecture and actually connect architecture to the people, to the human being. I feel like I'm a go-between in a good way, you know, at least for, because most of the contemporary architecture is really so generic and lifeless and has no life force, actually. So this is also a reason why people ask me, invite me to do projects, because they feel like, okay, I'm lost here. I don't feel like a human being, you know, it's like all concrete. I'm living in Austria. So here it's very much like they love this, all these, they call it minimalist, but it's actually so minimal that it's poor. It's actually draining. You know, public architecture and stuff like that. So I'm invited also because of that, because people are like feeling really lost or depleted, and I'm bringing in life force back, you know, through my art. So this is really something that I'm emphasizing or bringing out, creating actually through my art. And I did it in an intuitive way. And then when we worked together, Aisha and me, and she introduced me to the sacred blueprint and all the methodology she developed, I actually found out that I connect to the nature spirit, yeah. but I didn't know I do, you know, it looks so funny. So you get to know yourself better in the process, you know, you develop your method and you are conscious about what you're doing. Mm. And that's very important because this is also something that in art scene, I'm talking as an artist in art yeah. scene, a lot about, you know, let's criticize, let's be political, concept, blah, and right. harmony and beauty, it's like, nah.
Misery.
So annoy me with that, but actually this is so important, you know. And I realized that working ethics, it's not only about social structures, that's important, mm. but it's also being about being clear and being working for the highest good, being, you know, pure. I mean, mm. it's a big word, but to know yourself and mm. be respectful with all involved, including yourself, right? And that's so, so important. And that's something that I realized entering this world of energetics, of communicating with, you know, feeling into this intuition and actually letting it work through me,
mm.
you know, less just, you know, through the mind, even though I was never that mind oriented, but it's important actually to become conscious what right. you're doing. So there is a good part in that as well, right?
Absolutely.
To be able to communicate
that's the masculine.
Exactly. And that's also the throat, right?
Yeah.
Artemis is so much connected to the throat center, right? So I'm this is also an important part to open up all this communication energy.
Yeah.
And before, so when we worked last year, actually with Aisha and me, I was bringing through a new art manifesto. This came completely unexpected and I really channeled it through. So I thought, okay, it must be true because if it's coming like boom through me, it needs to be, right? So in a way it was like my the way I approach art, what art means to me. And I really like realized it. I feel like, or I think, and I am an artist who uses or creates art for you viewers and everybody who is within it or looking at it, to use it as a metaphysical tool for your self-exploration, to know yourself. And that's so important to become conscious of these layers. And this is also something that is so powerful in the Temple of Artemis. We will talk about this later because it's, of course, light and dark, you know, but the co-creation of the two of these parts within yourself is so important. So yeah, birth humanity is a big, big thing that birthed through me with the help of Aisha. And that was so important. It's a foundation of my work, actually, realizing what my purpose as an artist is. It's super important. And spirituality and this multidimensional approach is non-existing in art. And also in architecture it isn't, because the result is just frightening, to be honest.
Continue. I mean, I'm just taking notes because there's so much here that you're sharing that is so actually connected to where we are at in architecture as well. And because you do work with spaces, I highly recommend everyone checks out Anemona Krishan's website. You can find it and also her Instagram page. But she also does architectural artworks where she is working with colors and patterns and lines and shapes and forms to enhance the energetics of the indoor spaces. And she brings life and energy. She energizes these spaces, which are actually what Anemona was just sharing, are very dead. And you can see this, and this very brutal minimal architecture that you use the word poor. It's actually makes it poor. It's less. There's no life force in it.
Exactly.
Life force
is lacking, and life force is also such an important word and realization that I had at the temple. So we are going to talk about that too. That's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
But and from going from this, you know, I actually started to remove myself from all this understanding of art that we see in the established art scene and also in the architecture. So actually design, every aspect that is connected to creativity and creation is somehow affected by this life force, lack of life force, and you know, a downward spiral in a way, you know, it's diminishing, dehumanizing, a lot of it is like, and depressing, I must say. And when I came to us to like to, I know this from my artistic work, you always have phases where you in-breath, you collect, you know, you inspire yourself literally, and then you express, so there is an out-breath, and then there is the stillness in between, you know. And I went in this stillness in between, emptied myself.
Yes.
And like the empty bowl, what she said, like in the last videos.
Yeah.
This was actually the point where I decided to come to Ephesus and visit Artemis. I'm like, okay, I'm open. I'm open to receive because I emptied myself as far as I can go from, you know, as far as I can feel, I guess it's always like,
yeah,
it is what it is supposed to be at that moment. So I felt like, okay, I empty myself. I set this intention to be really open to what is coming forward for me, because there must, and I feel there is something that is bigger than I can imagine within me. But I'm not talking about bigness in terms of I'm the biggest and I'm the brightest. And I'm, you know, it's not this kind of measurement with others or judgment or whatever, but just actually coming back to my authentic self. This is what was actually my intention, and to the seed of myself, right? So yeah, so this is how
I remember
you, before
before coming, Aisha, I don't know what's gonna happen next. I have no idea what's happening. I'm just letting go. I'm opening to receive. I'm taking this big leap. I have no idea where any of this is going to go. And I'm so happy you said yes to it, and took this big leap.
Yeah.
And already look at what has bloomed
exactly
as a result of this experience.
Yeah. I wouldn't have taken this so easily if it wasn't for you also, who's just important, you know, holding the space. And I absolutely trusted that you can hold the space, that you are there in, you know, when it's bright and when it's dark. So you can hold the space for me anyway. You know, that's because I'm a person, I'm a woman who is like, I'm strong, I can do everything by myself and so on, which is nice, good. It has its good parts, but you actually... I realized I lack trust sometimes, you know, this kind of, you're the one helping everybody or doing, right, you know,
that you need, there's a certain amount of, relinquishing of control that is needed in order to access that authentic self, that
exactly.
True essence self, that, which is actually that true essence self that you're talking about in a way transcends the personality, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
And it is that bigger thing that.
I love that. Exactly. It actually reconnects you to your bigger self that is connected to everything. And you get out of this micromanagement and this overwhelm to have to check things. You get much. Yeah. This is also something that I realized at the temple and later at the Mother Mary's Basilica, that was so important for me as well. So. So
I love it.
It's such an embodiment to be there, because it's one thing to think about this and have a first feeling.
I know, or study it, get a book about it. I mean, I don't give any of my clients any kind of pre-study homework. You know, here, read the book about Ephesus. Here, read this history book. Here, read, you know, study the proportions of the Temple of Artemis, or, you know, the proportions of St. John's Basilica, and, you know, the mathematics of it all. And it could very well be a beautiful study. So I'm not downing that, but there are experiences to be had at these places that don't want to be clouded by preconceived ideas, so you carrying certain memorized preconceived ideas and then in fact not truly being there.
Exactly.
In order to experience this embodiment that you're talking about. Yeah.
It's so important because there is this perspective or this feeling, this beingness that you can experience that you just don't have it when you close yourself up and control things through pre-knowledge, you know, and the mind is always like coming in and, oh, let's control this and let's control that. And
And it's like, what am I going to be prepared to know when I'm there?
Exactly.
So that I can maybe look smarter or be more prepared or be a better geomancer or right?
Exactly. It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work. I mean, it doesn't work that way. And more and more, that's what the feminine, I think, is teaching us too. Yeah. The darkness, the mystery, the receiving, right? And then to be able to, like you said, bring the thinking in and then maybe actually even through the speech, through the larynx. Anyway, there's so much to talk about there. That whole process is one to meditate on, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
For me, it was really important to make this step into this trust, to this trust and into the mysteries. I mean, I'm exploring that in my own way, in my art as well.
Yeah.
Because this entering the unknown is so exciting, actually. We learn that it's just frightening and just avoid it and do what's required and do mainly. And then if you don't do and let go of this conditioning and programming, you enter the mysteries like it works like by itself. And when as an artist, it's really important to do that actually. And as a creative person and everybody actually in their own way should do that from time to time. We have phases in our lives, right? And it's all... we need to go into the unknown to evolve, to know. Evolution to me means know myself even deeper, you know, better in terms of mind, but being able to go deeper. And I feel like when I go deep, I also go wide, like what you say. It's the same thing, you know. So yeah, however, this was my intention and my state of being when I came to Ephesus, to the Ephesus retreat, which was amazing. I mean, like,
yeah, I know. So
this can't be true.
I know. I remember when you first came to the site of the retreat hotel space too, and just was like, oh, this is amazing.
It's beautiful. It's the perfect place to be when you have this. When you go into the mysteries, because you're like in the mountains, it's quiet. You hear the owls
with nature.
You have a beautiful view, and it's really grounding. I mean, it's not just beautiful, and you know, on a surface, it's really working deep. It's helping you ground what you're experiencing. It's helping you go, you know, be safe, actually. It's a safe
You
know, remote from the buzzing of the city, from the buzzing of other energies.
Yeah.
So you can really ground this energy and also open up to what's coming up in terms of, okay, maybe that's not so pleasant, which also happened, right? At the last day, I actually had a meltdown, right? So it's like, oh my God, what's coming into that? So it's a place where you can also relax. So you're not into doing or, you know, and the food is just amazing. Amazing. And it's like, and you feel like a queen. That's also to remember that you're, you know, really enjoying life and having the best food and the best room and the best view. And, you know, everything is like highest and nourishing.
I love it.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful place, really.
Let's go again. Let's do it. Yeah. I'm ready.
It was really
I'm ready. We're doing it.
It was so hard to leave there. I was like, oh my God, no.
I know.
We need to go back to regular life. And
But we need those places to recharge, right? Yeah. It's something that people used to do, you know, go to the healing centers, get you know, music, sound therapy. They would go to the baths, the hammams, right? Especially in this region of the world, and others everywhere. You know, that this retreat or a pilgrimage, you know, that was part incorporated into society in some way, right? Into culture. And now it's like, go, 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 go. Like, how much work can you get done in one day? How many videos can you watch on your phone? Or I don't know, how many messages are you going to respond to? It's just, it's
running from ourselves in the end. That's the
running from ourselves from the end. Running from ourselves from the end. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm dying to hear again about the experiences you had in Ephesus at the Temple of Artemis. And I want to hear, I'm so excited about these latest works that birth through you as a result of communing with Artemis, as a result of connecting with the energies of Ephesus. Can you share what the events that led up to birthing some of these works that are behind you?
Well, so we went to, the first day we went to straight to the Temple of Artemis. Yeah. And
he just always wants us to go first. Yeah,
of course. I mean, it's
like, this is my domain. You need to respect and say hi to me first, right?
I was so curious. So I was like, So I got some gifts with me to offer to her, some seeds from my balcony and also some things related to my art, so that I'm like, you know, bringing her a gift from my space, from my world in a way. So it was, it's like when you get there, the people who were there already know it, but it's like, you don't see much, you know, you just see the bushes and then there's this gate, but it's not much left actually from the temple, which is, I find actually good, because you can imagine yourself what's going on there, and you don't have this, you know, the history and all these energies that, yeah, maybe are just put there or whatever, evolved through time and so on. So there is a certain purity to it at the same time through the missing architecture, right? The energy is there. Yeah. And then the first thing was a black and white cat that greeted me. It was like, meow. So cats everywhere, but you need to watch the cats, I tell you, because they tell you things, you know, it's so funny. And I was like, okay, a black and white cat. Okay. I was black and white as well, because I was going there with this, light and shadow, you know, bringing light and shadow. It's not like bringing this or that. I was like, I'm bringing all of myself here.
Yeah. And Ephesus and the Temple of Artemis faces west, which is the dark. So I'm just painting the scene a bit for everybody.
Exactly.
It's very rare for a Greek temple.
Exactly. Yeah. And she's very, very like the moon goddess. So there is this darkness to her and light. So yeah, I felt like, that's my thing, you know? And then I looked over the area and I was like, oh, I know, I have to go there. You know, it was like,
you were so sure. I'm like, and it's a place that not many people go to, or rarely. And so it's like, I was kind of like, huh? Why is she going there?
It's so funny. But I knew I had to go there. I was like, yeah, no, not here. Yeah, there. And it was all bushes and mosquitoes. It was like crazy with mosquitoes.
I know. I don't understand what those mosquitoes, they were really challenging us.
It was early November. So it was like, a lot of mosquitoes. I don't know why. But so I went to this area and I was like, hello, I am Anemona. I'm here to greet you and be here and offer you something, a few gifts from my garden. And the mosquitoes started biting me, and I was like, oh gosh, they probably just adjust my energy to the place.
Acupuncture.
Exactly. I think that mosquitoes, to a certain extent, actually, they have the energy of the place, you know. So I was like, maybe I need that. So let's just do it, you know. Okay, whatever, go and bite me. And then I looked around and I saw, it was so funny, I saw five peacock ladies, you know, just eating something.
Like actual peacocks, women, just, you know, women, beautiful peacocks.
Not a male, the tail, but the ladies don't have the tail, the big one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, no way, come on. Because before coming to the temple, I had rainbow stuff. You know, the peacock is like a symbol for the rainbow. And yeah, weird synchronicities already before I arrived. So the peacock ladies, five of them. And I was like looking at them, and they were just, you know, watching me and doing their thing there. And I had the strong feeling that these were actually some high priestesses or had a role as human beings, as women in the past. And now they're like birds, you know, in this time frame, they're birds, but they used to be women. And this area where I was called to is actually in front of the temple. So it's like before you enter it from the west, it's this area. And yeah, okay. And then I thought, these are colleagues from earlier times, probably the peacocks.
Yeah.
And there is in the center of this area, there is a small column. I actually have a picture here that Aisha took of me. It's so amazing because I look
love
like
it.
A column. Here.
I know, it's so like cool. Your dress too is fluted. Yeah, like a column. Yeah.
So you see everything is like bushes.
Yeah.
And then I came to this column and made my offering with my seeds and everything. And then all of a sudden I had the feeling of diving into the earth and seeing what happened there earlier, you know, like it felt like a seed bank or something, you know, where people brought their seeds or maybe their projects or their, you know, things regarding fertility and life force. And where the temple priestesses or priests, but I feel like it was women, took care of them, you know, made sure that they had energy, life force and everything. So, and then I felt into this and I realized that actually, and that's so crucial. That's one of the most important things that I understood or received is that everything has a seed, everything, not only plants, but also projects, everything, you know, buildings, every design, every idea has a seed, so physical and non-physical. And what is a seed? It has the blueprint, the sacred blueprint, right? Of the tree, of the human, maybe also, you know, you can take everything. It's not just plants, as I said. So it's like when you have the seed and you attend the, you know, you are aware of the seed and you attend and take care of it, it can grow into its authentic self and really reveal and realize the actual blueprint.
Yeah. Without distorting the seed,
exactly.
Without corrupting the seed. Yeah.
And it happens through the life force. So life force was also such an important idea. I already had that in my, you know, field, but I was not aware. I didn't realize that it's so much connected to this seed idea, you know, to this core of us all, of everything. And if something lacks this seed, it's actually lacking life force. It's actually dehumanizing. It's actually going
it's again. Like it's empty. It's empty.
Exactly. And this is something that is happening today that we're talking about. Let's take the, you know, DNA out of the seed and just empty it and we put something else in it. But it's such a sacred, energetic, thing actually.
Yeah.
I don't know how to, the seed is the seed. There is no other
like
word.
This essence.
Essence. Exactly. It's an essence of, and that's the core of our beingness, actually, you know, because it's physical. It's, it has everything in it that it needs. It doesn't have to come to get things from the outside. You know, it's like the flower that blooms from within. It doesn't bloom from without, I feel, you know, it's like coming from its own sharing and then receiving again. But there is this, you know, coming into your own or fulfilling your own blueprint, your own energy. So that was something that was so like, wow, crystal clear, everything has a seed. Wow, that was really powerful. I was like, and that's something that we actually intuitively, I think we all feel that things have a core where they start from. But it's one thing to just, you know it in a way more or less consciously, and another to be really aware of the seeding process, of the seed within yourself.
Yeah.
Where is it? What is it? How does it feel? Do you have, are you in touch with it? Because otherwise we might grow something within us, you know, that is not ourselves. Maybe it's someone else's programming, someone else's DNA brought into, you know, like GMOs or something, you know?
Yeah.
Where is your own seeding within yourself, you know, etheric seeding or, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's such a crucial work because it's like, I feel it's like the groundwork for all this, how to bring life force into form.
And it's just, and as you're sharing too, it's like, yeah, how to bring the life force into form. You're talking about the seed connect, that it is the beginning of the blueprint. It is this, the, it is the beginning of the human, the beginning of the plant, of everything, everything.
Yeah.
And that the seed too is almost like the woman's responsibility to nurture. She receives the seed actually from the masculine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that just really landed for me right now in a very deep way with these peacocks, you know, because you were saying you were feeling much more of a feminine priestess energy there. And I'm also, what I'm hearing is also the sense now of responsibility to be taking care of these seeds. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that it's the core of our being, right? Yeah, continue.
Yeah, and then we worked. So then I left, I made my offering. So this was, I also had this feeling of being aware of the seed in my works, also in the site-specific works, and doing works that actually address this idea. So bring it to into the consciousness of people, you know? Because there is a very important, you know, split here in to future timelines between this, yeah, life force energy and the lacking of life force energy going into technology and in the material
Uber technology. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I have nothing against the material world. Being an artist, I bring the unseen into the scene, right? The non-material to the into material and then back again. So there is this exchange, right? So that's important. But the awareness that we train our inner beingness, our organs to be able to feel this energy and not only feel it, recognize it, but also be able to create form shapes that receive it, because I don't think we actually create it, you know, it's not, it's just, it's there, but there are shapes that can embody it and there are shapes that cannot embody it.
Yeah.
And that can be also AI can embody this life force at a certain point. This is something that Ibrahim Karim from Biogeometry said, that it's not about good, bad technology, non-technology. It's about how do we shape it literally, you know? Yeah. Which shape does it have? And is it able to receive this life force energy? So this is why mm-hmm. shape is so important, actually. It's so important that we are aware what we are forming here. Because it's either able to receive life force and give it, you know, to the like architecture to harmonize people, to, you know, heal them, maybe depending on the on what the architecture is. Just imagine a hospital that is built with these, you know, ideas in mind and this knowledge.
Oh.
So it can do a lot of things with not like it wouldn't change like. We don't have to destroy everything and rebuild it. It's just, we need
yeah.
to adjust yeah. things. And also what also came through for me, and this is something we talked about as well, is we need to find new forms. You know, it's not just about bringing back the past, you know, like, yeah. okay, there's a temple.
Corinthian capital or yeah.
It's more about finding our own shapes, our own approach. With the awareness that there is this life force and there is the earth, there's the heaven, there is this connection and all these things. So yeah, that's an expression. And that's actually what happened. I'm going to show you some works right now because it fits well to the idea
Perfect.
Of seed and also of this. I'm going to go back and bring something.
Yeah, go for it.
Maybe both actually. So I'm going to show you the bigger one. I hope you can see something.
We can see it. Yeah. Oh, it's so powerful.
Also, the landscape is something new in my work. So it's like this view that we had there.
Yes. Yes. This is such a new piece. And I love how it's so dark.
Yeah, it's like the darkness and the light, and they're feeding each other, actually. You know, it's like the well and this coming into matter. So these are two, like, more or less very abstract heads. These are the ears. I always have a head shape in my work. And
maybe
like an egg shape, right? Because this is feed as well. So there is this bigger one, and then these two parts that are co-creating. And the material world is, like, you know, really heavy and dense. And if you want to get out of it, you need to overcome gravity, right? Like a plant, actually. The plant overcomes gravity. So it grows out from this material world into the etheric, right? But it needs to make an effort for that. It's just like happening like that.
And it requires help, right?
Exactly. And that's what the seed does as well, right? It has this etheric rising up to the... to the etheric, to the light and air and so on. So this is something that I wanted to express here, this effort of coming up of, so not denying the physical world, but being aware of the effort and the energy it takes. But this energy is also interesting. It's not like an effort, oh my God. It's like becoming more of yourself because you integrate the other part of yourself, right? So you bring in the spirit that is the light and so on. So this is really important to connect both. So that was one work.
Oh, it's so powerful. And I'm loving these oranges and earthy ochre yellows and these, and the forms too. Like there's so much that's inspiring me about new forms for architecture and plans. And it's so profound. Like the ear like shape, the profile of the human being too. It's so beautiful.
There is
wow, Anemona. This is huge.
Yeah, it is.
What's birthing through you?
I love it, and it's this. I'm not so much interested in the mimesis, like showing the real. What you see is painting the real photographic. How do we look like in our energetic, multidimensional? Or what is our tendency? What is our beingness beyond the purely physical we perceive?
Yeah.
That's something that art has always actually dealt with, good art at least. But we forgot that in art at the moment, you know. And there is another.
And the bottom actually piece is very much like a temple too. And it reminds me also of the grid, the foundations of that of a temple. And even like just thinking about, you know, how we're walking through the ancient city of Ephesus, but there's no roofs, but we're feeling the where the buildings have touched the earth. And there's so much more to that. I wouldn't even want to reduce it to just that. It almost has a labyrinth quality to it as well. It's emitting energy too. It's like a vehicle as well on the bottom, but it's very architectural. And it's also, it's these two worlds, right? This, the dark and the light and
the earth and the, above earth,
it's realm. Incredible.
Archimedes is also very much connected to the inner earth, I feel, to going deep into, the core of the earth. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, Anemona.
So this is like Aisha.
It's so
frozen.
So powerful.
I think you're frozen. Are you frozen? Ooh. Do you hear me? Oh no.
It. Yeah, I can.
Yeah. Okay.
Really? Did it?
Yeah. Yeah, you're back.
Yeah, my internet just cut out a bit. We have a bit of a windstorm today, so.
We had this like 2 weeks, for 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
And for a second, I want to show you this one, because this is with copper leaves. I don't know if you can see it, but it's
can see the shine on it.
And these are like, you know, smaller pieces where I try out things, but still they are works, like finished works. And what's interesting about that, because we were talking about doing a new design and still having this connection to the past, but not copying the past, right?
Right.
And I feel like this looks like an icon a little bit, you know, like a female, you know, like the Madonna, you know, like a head with the hair.
It has like a kind of
It reminds
with
me
the aura around her, maybe.
All kinds of, it looks like it's ancient. That's what I'm trying to say.
Like almost like a Byzantine fresco of some kind
But not not following the rules of an icon, you know. Making my own, but inspired by that. So there is concepts, but still in a more abstract way, where you can see a head shape if you like, but it's not, you know, you don't have to. It's just,
I mean, there's the egg. It's very beautiful. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
So that's what happened after my visit in Ephesus. It was really like feeling this reconnection to myself, to the seed, and looking for the seed, feeling it, you know, going into the body, and where is it? What is it? How does it feel? And so that's what happened at the temple for me.
That's incredible.
Incredible.
And for you, did you, when it comes to like land energies, was there anything that you felt like palpably in your body? Could be different parts of the temple site or other locations in Ephesus. Like, what was the feeling like for you of the energies there?
There were three sites in Ephesus, or three things, sites that really like touched me. I felt them very strongly. And one was a place where you led me, actually, which is the power spot of the temple.
One of the main,
One of the main, yeah. And it was like, wow, I got there and it was like, my throat chakra was really opening up, you know. Yeah. So that was really palpable. And in a good way. So not like I'm knocked out or something, but that was very, very powerful. And another one was when I went to the museum to see the Artemis statue. That was really like, I went in alone, right? You were like in a cafe.
Yeah, I took a break.
I was like, oh my God. It's like, whoa.
It was good. I'm happy that you took that time alone to do it. Yeah.
Because of course, as an artist, I was interested also in this sculpture.
How did they depict her, right?
Exactly. And I was like, I love it, talking about life force, to have this mana in the sculpture, in the art that it emits, you know. And there are two Artemis sculptures. One is the beautiful one, a smaller one, and the bigger one, you know. And I mean, this is the bigger one. You don't get to see her that much because they don't have postcards. So you need to go there and see her for yourself.
Yeah.
And she's like 3 meters high or something. So she's really big. She's massive. They fit her really well. It's like in the temple during full moon or so. So, and I went to this statue and I was, oh my God. There is a specific point when you stand in front of her. You need to find that spot. But when you stand in front of her, at least it was my experience, it's like, wow, you're buzzing. She's a power spot in herself, you know. But there is a specific area where it works. I don't think it works everywhere. So you need to, find the spot. And it was so funny because I had the feeling. So I was buzzing and all of a sudden I had the feeling as if she would let my left body side grow. I don't know how to explain that, but it was like, whoa, my arm is getting longer. And it's the feminine side, you know, the left body part side is the feminine
side. She's like, we got to stretch this out a bit more.
I felt like I was like bigger on the left than on the right. It was so funny. I was like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? I was talking to her. So that was amazing. She's really amazing. She's so powerful. I mean, it's just crazy, you know? And it's not about, you know, knowing what's here and there and this X or not or whatever. But she's a queen. She's a queen. And she treats you as a queen. So you are on eye level with her. You need to be, you need to perceive yourself on eye level. You are a queen, you know, which is big.
Yeah, amazing.
And another power spot that you showed me was at the Mother Mary Basilica.
Mm.
That was so powerful for me. So this is the Mother Mary Basilica. This is also a beautiful.
Yeah, I love those photos of you. Yeah. You're just like
amazing. Yeah, like you could
soft,
see it.
Soft, feathery, more like,
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
the Baptist.
I guess it's the basin or the well of baptism. Yeah, and Anna spoke about this space as well too. She was very affected by it as well. Yeah,
it was so beautiful. It was so such a heart. It was an unconditional energy. Really, it's like, well, everything is fine. Everything is accepted. There is no. Everything is just perfect as it is. I'm in peace, you know, so peaceful, but it sounds, you know, like an easy thing or whatever, trivial, but it's not. It's so deep, actually. And really, it's just at this spot, especially, but also it's an octagonal space. So I feel like they did some mystery rituals, whatever, not
probably,
only.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful. It's just... I feel like this place is really connected to Artemis in terms of it works together. Artemis and brings up everything, you know, you need to reveal to yourself at that moment.
She's more raw. She's
raw,
more tough.
Exactly.
She's more,
And this is like the loving energy. Love yourself, you know, it's just reconnect to your self-love, unconditional self-love. And that's very rare that you get to feel that in a building, actually, I feel, maybe in nature more. But it's also good that you don't have a roof. So it's like,
It's so cool. It just becomes
I love that.
Open more to the imagination. You get to fill it up in your mind's eye or
complete
it maybe in a way.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's actually what I feel. And, and I'll let you continue, Anemona. I'm just so grateful for your detailed accounts of your experiences and what the end result has been for you, these incredible works. But, you know, for me in terms of my role is I feel very like that it's my task to bring you women here because you all have a task to fulfill to complete the architecture, complete the space, to reunite with it and also reawaken it for other people. And I would notice too that when I bring women to these places, it's rare, but a couple souls that would feel the same vibration or a resonancy out of the sea of tourists, right? And we don't get that many in the Artemis Temple, which is great. And Mother Mary Church, people usually forget about that place because it's far off of the main artery of the main Roman city of Ephesus. There would just be some people who would come through out of that, like, they would feel that resonance. And I've had experiences where one or two or three tourists, I mean, people would come forward and be very curious about what we're doing. And something would shift and occur for them. They would receive some kind of a download. I know that's like overused word, but they would receive some kind of information or wisdom or get a jolt of life force energy, love energy. I've even experienced someone who's a total stranger come in and start crying within the container that I've created with my clients there. So It's like, this is all to say that you and the other women who are coming and hearing the call to come to Ephesus is like, you actually don't, you, before you come, you don't know fully what that task is. And then only until you come, you realize, oh my God, I had to come. I had to be here because I have a task to do. And I have a responsibility now to hold the torch for this wisdom, for this impulse. And this is not, this is really important to, because this is a little bit fashionable these days in the spiritual world, these kind of cult-like groups like, oh, the Isis or Sirius or Pleiades or this, and we're from this galaxy, or I'm from this, you know, goddess tribe or this, while we do, while there is a different flavor and teaching that comes from different gods and goddesses or different, you know, realms in the cosmos, galaxies and this and that, that's not the point. We're not, I'm not creating a cult here. That's not the point. That's not the future. That's not the way that we are meant to evolve. We're not creating another tribe. What we are doing is we're opening up wisdom for the future that is about creation and accessing the creation mysteries so that we can help humankind to grow and to heal and to build more beauty. To build more beauty.
I love that. This is so
important. Yeah, what do you have to say about that?
Wow, this is so, so important. I love it.
That just came through right now, yeah.
Concept so, in such a grounded concept and, you know, language, this is just so important. Because there is this, I agree that you realize you have something to do there. Two. It's yeah. Not just you go there and you receive something. It's always an exchange. You give and you give and you receive. You receive and you give something. So because you, in order for energy to flow, it needs to be an exchange, right? So you don't just go to the place and take something and say, yeah, well, and I'm going now. It's not working like that. It's just, it has its own rules. It has its own natural laws, actually. It's a natural law. And I feel like I felt myself that when I got to the temple and worked with the temple, you know, asked and received, there was also a task for me to do there. So we are revealing parts of the temple, each of us in her own way. But there is a revelation that happens when you get there, and you reveal it to yourself, but you also help the temple to reveal it to others, you know?
Yeah.
And now I have a siren going like, woo, 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 outside. It's always a sign. It's important, even more. So there is this revelation that happens to you and to others, and you enable other people, other women who are coming, to tap into this energy as well, because you have the code for that specific frequency that is there. So this is what I felt. And also, I mean, it can be that. That's one part. It is that. And there is another part, like, for example, when we were in the Ephesus in the city, there is this I call it Artemis freak show, to be honest, because there is this digital world they made.
Yeah.
It's a black box. It's huge.
Like and a building. Yeah. This kind of museum. Yeah.
And there is this very, very, like an artificial digital show about Artemis. And this freaks me out. She's like really, really dark, you know, in a lifeless
way. In a not good dark way. Yeah.
Exactly. In a lifeless way. So interesting that they put this, you know, this space and this show just in the center of Ephesus, next to a very, very dear place of yours that has such a heart energy with the plains and everything.
In the middle of the market where the beautiful trees you're saying, was it at the when we first entered?
This is where the pine trees are, where the park
is. Yes. You're talking about the building itself.
So Aisha and I were actually feeling into this, and it was really like creepy.
Yeah.
And we did some work there to clear that. So there
Yeah.
is a there is also, you don't only get there and it's like, okay, I'm here, and that's important to
Yeah.
get your keys activated
Yeah.
and to
And we
activate.
ask permission
We
to
ask permission. That's important.
yeah,
Working
just if
ethic,
it's
right?
yeah.
Yeah, if it's appropriate to do that. So there is also this part of working with this site, of working with this energy, and really be aware that Artemis can be seen this way or pulled into the direction that is a whole other story. Because we also have the like this moon program, they want to land on the moon and
Oh
it's
my God,
Artemis
Anima,
and
this
all
is really, yeah, this is
that.
important that you're
It's
talking about
important.
this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, the moon program, isn't there one ship or like the ship called Artemis?
Yeah, yes. I think the whole thing is called Artemis, but I'm not sure. So there is this, you know,
Yeah.
these systems, they take
It's
this
just
and use it for themselves. Empty it from what it's actually, because they don't have the connection to it, so it doesn't matter.
back to the seed, right? Back to the
Exactly.
lifeless seed, the one that's being distorted, or the GMO, right? Like genetically
Exactly.
modified seed, or
Yeah, and we have
yeah.
a GMO Artemis here, you know,
Yeah.
that in this freak show. So I'm
Yeah.
calling it freak show.
Yeah, I mean that museum was something we didn't go inside. I haven't been inside. I don't feel called to go inside, although it may be worth going inside just to be informed, to understand, or just to see what's going on. But there's this whole kind of multimedia digital experience that they're taking people through. But it's like, well, wait a second. You've just, why do you need to add that on when there's already so much to experience in
Exactly.
Ephesus in the real living forms, where you're actually touching the softest, most warming, incredible stones of marble and quartz and travertine and but this is a really good symbol, right, for what's going on in the world today, because you know my son, he's 10 years old, and while he does go to a relatively alternative school, there's still some digital influences coming in, right? And I'm not against the computer. I use it all the time for my business, obviously, right? But how are we being pulled away from the moment and pulled away from our center and being pulled away from being truly embodied on earth, embodying the pulse of Gaia, right? Embodying the seed, deeply connecting with place. Or are we somewhere else? Again, my beloved mentor, Connor Sauer, will say, you know, everyone is everywhere else but here with their phones, right? You're always somewhere else. You're always somewhere else and not in the present. So that can be really dangerous, right? And at the same time, great when you connect with grandma overseas and you get to Skype with her or do a video call. This is beautiful, but yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up, because that's also something to look at when it comes to sacred sites, right? How are people taking care of these sacred sites? What are archaeologists doing? What are architects doing? What are governments doing to honor those sites? Are they delivering the correct information? I mean, I think there was a bunch of information on some of the signs walking through the city that's just like, I'm not so sure that that's the right information about this particular ruin, you know, architectural ruin, et cetera. So yeah, there's lots of overlays there. And great job, Anemona. You went, I wouldn't have been able to do that telepathic, energetic work with you regarding that new building that they introduced, without your willingness to go deep into actually the darker realms,
Exactly.
and face the shadow.
Exactly. And face it, what I loved, really learned also in this experience, us working on this energy and on this building with a permission, was that there is this layer to darkness where you see the, you know, you see it with compassion, but not in a, you know, silly way, but you really see it helplessness within itself. You see the human, like, yeah, the compassionate part within it, and also a certain aspect that wants to be harmonized in this, you know, that needs to, that can be brought into its natural light, but not into the light. It stays shadow, but it has another role. It changes.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah. A more constructive role.
Yeah. It's not, it's actually misused. It's misused. And it changes, the use of the darkness changes. It becomes then, you know, the co-creative factor. And when you work, when you tap into this, you become aware within yourself that there is these parts that are actually distorted shadow and that are not distorted, that like the real harmonized shadow part within you that is actually co-creating with the light part, right? And that's something that the last day then I realized we had our breakfast, beautiful, a sun.
I know, amazing breakfast.
From the valley and just the food, amazing. And all of a sudden I got really sad and it was like, oh my God. Okay, we had to leave. So yeah. I think I was sad as well because of that. But not only that, so I felt like, wow, also her, the temple, like Mother Mary, everything, and also this energetic work we had, we did, somehow really, you know, got deep into my system and revealed something, some very sad parts, you know, from my childhood when I was born in Romania and I moved to Austria when I was a kid. And I realized there is something, a displacement within me, you know, like my roots are there and I'm here and I'm like constantly looking for roots and the seed and the root, interesting, right? And the root that is actually going into the deep, going into the dark, right? So our roots are something that is related to our dark good way, also nourishing part. So, and then we did this alchemical healing session where things came up and I could, like, you know, bring them together as well. I feel like this painting also has to do with that, to a certain extent, right? So that was so powerful, and I had all kinds of synchronicities. I found a skin of a shed skin of a snake and stuff like that.
I know you were finding all kinds of objects that were showing you the way, the clues, like a treasure hunt. Yeah,
exactly. Like a you know, when you do this kind of dream reading your dreams, but the symbol this.
Yeah, symbol. But you were like living the dream outside, like it. Without sleeping.
Exactly. So that was also so important, this alchemical healing session, because it wrapped up everything, you know, everything came together and went really deep and showed me something that I didn't know was, you know, an issue or a distortion within me. And I feel like this is what's happening as well. You know, you get to know these areas, you get to address them in a loving way. Not in a, I need to check and heal. I need to do, you know, this healing part can be very do, 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 do.
Yeah.
That's not it.
Yeah. No, it's not it.
And, So you're
so rich. Yeah. Everything from confronting your own shadows and these darker, deeper layers to awakening to this, the wisdom of the seeds, to communing with Mother Mary and this unconditional loving energy, this love energy, to sharing these incredible works that you've birthed through this whole process. I'm just
it's been amazing. It's been such a, I mean, I still go back and, you know, I'm reconnecting. I'm also having this pics,
you know, like it helps you to
you tap back into this energy and feel into the place, because it's you get back there, right?
I love it. I love it. Wow. So Anemona, what do you think then would just trying to frame this question here, you know, thinking about the women architects and designers that I'm predominantly serving, I am open to mentoring artists who are working with in site specific ways as well. I do open the doors to women like that as well, but there needs to be some kind of a connection to place, right? And the land and working with the space, et cetera. Just thinking about these women, you know very well who I serve. Why do you think that it's important to come to a place like this, and how do you think it's going to help them to birth this new architecture?
I feel like there is a journey back to yourself, to your own seed, to your authentic self, in a very profound and loving way, where you embody yourself more, which makes it easier to go back into your real life, be it for myself, being an artist, being an architect designer. You might go back to your office, being surrounded by people who don't get anything from about what you're saying or living, you know. But there is this kind of becoming the queen in terms of, I am who I am, I'm embodying that, I know it's right. There is a bigger picture here that I'm trusting myself to be part of, to embody. And I feel like there is a natural, things just fall into place then. They start to fall into place when you let them, when you trust, you know. It's like an impulse that happens at the site because you decide to go there. So it's you who is actually bringing, you know, this
right through the decision, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So this is so important. When you feel the pull to go there, you're meant to go there. So trust this impulse. This is the first step to trust your impulses, because then you already tap into this seed that is actually calling you, you know, to go there and receive some more of yourself, to reveal more of yourself, and then become, you know, embody this self more and more, become your authentic self, become the queen. I call it queen. You can call it whatever you like, you know. It's just this beingness and in feminine power that is not about ruling over others, that also is loving herself and putting herself in the center of her life, knowing that when you do that, you help yourself, others, you harmonize yourself and others. So there is a natural, I don't know how to describe it. This is something you need to experience there, because I cannot, like, you know, tell you.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm the words I can find for it, but it's just, yeah, you know, a small part of it, because it's the experience, and the experience is like much, much richer with all your senses and all your multidimensional layers.
Yes.
So it's not something you can talk about too much. That's the mysteries are need to be experienced. They cannot be talked about. It's just, yeah, just a very small part of it. So if you feel called, I would recommend you really, really consider and go there, because then you're meant to be there for yourself and for the temple, you know? You will see that, yeah, just be curious, empty yourself, have no like controlling expectation. What needs to come up, I need some, you know, outcome, and the outcome needs to be that, because this is not the place to go there and do that.
She's gonna, she'll turn your ship upside down and
in a loving way,
came here for that.
In a funny way as well, because she's got a lot of humor. I mean, I cannot tell you, before the interview, the last days, and also before I went to Ephesus, I saw so many vulva symbols. It was so funny, like really all over the place. It was like vulva, 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 vulva.
She's really good with the sexual life force energy. Really so good funny. With upping your sexual life force. Yeah.
Yeah. Vulvas and rainbows. It's so, that's the truth. That's so funny. So yeah, that's what I would say and recommend. And it's a beautiful experience you don't want to miss, really. It's just your personal
experience. Oh, it's beautiful, Anemona. Yeah. I just couldn't stop taking notes here. Yeah. Yeah, you said a journey back to your,
yeah,
back what the notes I took, journey back to yourself in a very profound out a bit again. So if I pause, yeah, where you embody yourself more, it makes it easier to go back into your own life, becoming the queen. I am who I am. I know it's right. There's a bigger picture here that I'm trusting myself to be a part of, to embody. And, you know, things just, I feel like there's a natural, things fall into place when you let them, right? Rather than controlling. So this impulse, right? If you're, if you feel like you're meant to go there and you don't know why.
Exactly.
You don't know why, like you can't understand it, but it's pulling you.
Yeah.
Then go with that impulse. Go with that impulse.
Very important. That's really important because this.
Thank you for saying yes to the impulse, and congratulations for saying yes to the impulse, saying yes to your true essence, and rather than, you know, because I can imagine, and I know my mother is an artist, and I used to study art as well. There's a time where artists can start to regurgitate the same works over and over again, as well as architects. I remember there was this one architect, everyone made a joke about it, but he used to always do these pink buildings or something. I don't know, but it's like, okay, let's move forward here. And why not open up to the mystery and the not knowing what's going to be birthed through. And that's very much why I, one of the reasons why I realized later that I birthed the sacred blueprint to help my clients birth their own forms.
Yeah.
And I be the midwife for that, right? I support them. I'm like their birth doulas,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Birthing doulas and then help them to orchestrate the forms. And yeah, so, but for you, it's like, wow, look at the work that's now coming through. Yes, there are obviously essences that you're carrying forward from your previous works because they're incredibly powerful. But there's a new story. There's some new messages coming through.
There is a new version of me that got activated. So I felt very clearly that going back to my work here, I felt like, okay, there is more here. So I get to I have more creative energy or more, also more openness to things I would have never tried. I would, like if you told me last year that I would try this metal leaf, I was always like, oh my God, gold leaf, that's so kitschy, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, there is nothing that is kitschy or not kitschy. Just try it out. Try it out. Don't limit yourself. Don't limit yourself we don't do that. And it's not that, you know, it's like,
no, because we have all this programming, right?
I'm cool.
It's I catch like, myself too, when I'm designing our spaces and stuff, I'm like, oh, is this going to be really cheesy or,
but you know, you have to trust your creativity because there is nothing that is cheesy or not. Everything can be cheesy or you just use the ingredients and create your own thing. And when you create, and that's something that I needed to allow myself, is just create your thing with whatever is there. And you are like, oh, let's try this out. Just, you know, be flexible, relax into your truth, you know, relax into what is coming for you and just try play a little bit. And it can be small things at the beginning. It doesn't have to be the big ones, you know? It's like, okay, take your gold leaf and just, and people love it.
I mean, it's beautiful. I can see the ones in the back shining now from the light. Yeah. It's incredible.
There is an energy that's coming through these materials with the metal and so forth.
Yeah,
so
metals is also, there's something there too for us to learn. Yeah.
So, and when you allow that, you can, you know, navigate or use these energies, and they get so potent, and they're more than the sum of the parts, you know, and the painting and the just bigger and bigger, not in terms of I'm so big and I'm such an ego, but it's cool. It's just so cool to reveal yourself to yourself, to see, wow, this is something I've birthed. Wow. What's coming through me? I didn't know that, you know, allow yourself this joy to be yourself, to create from yourself. This is so much in each and every one of us. It's just, you know, our nature, actually. we suppress it because we learned, you know, to suppress it, but it's so important also to do this, to start this process of self-revelation, you know.
Ah, I love it. What a gift you are to the world and to this planet and to this to other artists, Anemona, to other artists who are also hearing the call to bridge spirit with form and matter. Really?
I might think about maybe.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're a role model for them, right? And it's high time that those high arts, right, come back. Those high healing arts come back. And architecture was one of them. But we need to do it in a contemporary way. And what an incredible example of what that could look like with these recent works that just came through.
Really?
Yeah. So beautiful. Well, it was an amazing interview. We went over a little bit longer and it's totally worth it. You know, we go deep and you know, the topic of going deep. This is a deep circle. This is a deep project. This is a deep container. And, you know, it's not for women who aren't interested in going deep. I am excited to announce, I've announced this in the past three interviews, that I am curating a select constellation of women architects and designers. You may also be a site-specific artist like Anemona. This could be. I am calling in, curating these women who are hearing the call to build the temples of the future, to bridge spirit with form, and to commune with the goddess, commune with these sacred geometries, these sacred temples, the one of the world's biggest power place in the world, to help you to cross over the threshold, make this bold leap into living the life of your dreams. Really, I know it may sound cheesy, but it's really living and creating in the way that your soul was meant to create on this planet, rather than staying small, rather than forcing yourself to do work that you think you need to do in order to make money or to be abundant or to be happy. And it's time, you know, have most likely been studying feng shui, biogeometry, geomancy, yoga, meditation, any of these kinds of areas of, you know, it could be personal development, mindset, and you're just devouring books at home, most likely. I mean, Anemona and I, we always joke how we're such spiritual nerds, you know, we're geeks, right? You just can't put the books down. And you are interested in studying the unseen realms. You are interested in studying the subtle realms, because you know deep down that that's where form gets birthed. That's where the blueprints of life exist, right? That's where the knowledge of the cosmos, the wisdom of the cosmos resides. And when you tap that when you tap that dimension or those dimensions or that realm, and you understand its laws, then you're able to not only create beautiful architecture and spaces and awaken your creativity and your intuition, but you're also able to anchor in a business, right? Because this is not just about, okay, feminine, you know, opening up, receiving, and then getting the inspiration and, you know, doing, you know, but the actual doing of it, right? I mean, Anemona couldn't have created these last pieces of artwork without her masculine. Because at a certain point, she decided to start painting. Like, that's the action, right? And the mind and the larynx. And this union of the feminine and the masculine needs to occur. And there's a story going on with you about those two worlds, right? About the feminine, about the masculine. Some of them have been distorted for a long time. And it's time to repair or listen to those stories and to change the narrative so that it's aligned with your truest self, your true voice, and start stepping into the queen, the architectress queen that you are, so that you start helping this planet. It's a responsibility. This is not just about gaining spiritual knowledge to be better than other people. If that's what your goal is, then, you know, that's not going to lead you in any places. And do I have shadow parts of me that are like that? Oh yeah. So let's just be totally honest here. You know, our shadow can be tricksters. We want to be the best. We don't want to screw up. We don't want to fail. We want to prepare and be ready, or blah, 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 blah. Or we want a certain amount of money, right? Or we want to be published in the magazines. Architects love being published in magazines. And there's a part of me that's like that too. So anyway, this is all to say that, yes, we welcome all your parts, all your shadow parts. And this is something bigger here. We're doing together and we're building a movement. We are building the new architecture so that our children and the beings of this earth, the animals, the plants, the minerals, the ancestors, you know, everyone who's involved lives a better life in the future, you know? And then we avoid, or rather not avoid, but we prevent this distortion of the seed that Anemone is talking about. Prevent this alteration, this manipulation of the human form.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We prevent this, this alteration, this distortion, even of the sacred temples, of the architecture that truly heals. And what does that look like for you, right? No, you're a leader, you're a pioneer, and you're here to serve others in a very unique and profound way. So, inviting you all into this container, you all, when I say you all, the ones who are really hearing the call and who know that they have what it takes to birth the new architecture, tapping this ancient wisdom, tapping your feminine wisdom, tapping your goddess powers, your queen, and finally coming out of hiding, really, to start to spread this energy, this magic. And I look forward to serving you and holding space for you in this group.
Yes. Yeah, I want to add something, if I may, even though
absolutely, please do so.
There is, from my own experience, there is, you know, you have nothing to lose except the parts that don't belong to you anyway. So this leap of faith is really important to allow yourself to be more of who you are, you know, because if we are afraid of losing something, usually we lose what doesn't belong to our system anymore anyway, you know? So
that's really reassuring too. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So use this, you know, fear maybe to really explore if this is actually something that it just tells you, release that, you know, reveal more, give yourself the chance and allow yourself the opportunity to reveal yourself, to reveal more of yourself to yourself. Because this is what you, when
right. And that's actually sometimes what we're even more scared about,
exactly.
Rather than.
Yeah, because there is power in there. What am I going to do? Because you can't, we can't, what I've realized in my own experience is I cannot, you know, understand the things that are coming up in their entire power and meaning from the old standpoint. I just don't have the perception, you know. I don't have the vessel to receive it because I'm like, my whole space is full with other stuff that doesn't belong to me. And when you decide to step into that, you actually already release a lot of junk, you know, or a lot of old stuff that actually needs to be released. Not because it's bad or not bad, it's just not longer serving you, right? Or serving us when we step into that. So, and you just get lighter and are capable of holding more of who you are, you know? Yeah. So the decision itself, this fight, you know, this, oh, I'm afraid, I'm not, it's already a sign that you are ready to release, you know, these parts that are keeping you back, you know, it's keeping you stuck. And
oh, I love
entering
it.
The new. Yeah. So there is always, it's normal to have this, you know, back and forth and, oh, wow, shall I do that? And then you learn to go with
challenging
it.
Challenging you. Yeah.
And this is the first, actually, I guess it's the first step to enter the mysteries in general, because you need to open yourself up and give yourself the permission to do it and not say,
oh, like an initiation.
Person or they or whatever, this external limitations. Yeah. You need to step into this knowing that it's you who decides what is your limit, not nobody else, you know? And this is a very important self-empowerment, and also you free yourself from these external limitations. They become
limitations. Just, yeah.
You relax.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah. Well, I can see it in your being. I've witnessed how much you've grown over the years as a result of laying down consciously these other parts that no longer serve you, so that you're paving the way for the new earth art.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It cannot come in with the old structure or with my old, you know, it's like you wear glasses and you only see specific things.
Yeah.
You know? You need to put them down and maybe take another one or just put them down and you see a whole other reality. But first you need to remove the filters and the program.
Yeah.
And the fear of stepping in is something that tells you, I'm actually ready to remove this old stuff and step into
exactly.
the new. And I give myself permission. So that's the queen.
So incredible. Thank you for adding that. And, you know, for women who are listening, it's like, oh, okay, well, sounds like there's going to be lots of deep work to do and, you know, spiritual deep work. And the amount of ease, actually, ironically, that it all happened and the swiftness that it happened for all of my clients that came to Ephesus, because of this loving support too, that they were backed, right? That you were held, that it occurred quite fast. And, you know, some of you may be wondering, it's like, well, what the hell is this all going to help me with my business? It's all connected. It's all connected. You know, if your inbox is filled with way too much junk email, right? Just like your own body, then you're not going to be able to receive more money. You're not going to be able to pave the way for your ideal clients. And in this 4-day intense VIP, or let's say high touch VIP retreat program, I do also provide you with some spotlight coaching, you know, high touch coaching that will support you in putting these pieces together to start to build this new design modality, or to start to attract the kinds of clients that you want to attract the amounts of money that you want to attract. But without this foundation work, without you knowing yourself, just like Anemona said, know yourself. Really know yourself. Discover who she is. And these temples, this site helps you to discover who you are. Without that, the business, you could try every trick and tool of the industry, right? You could get all kinds of business coaches and they'll tell you to try this technique, try that technique to sell, and, you know, mark your prices at this price. And, oh, you got to start focusing more on this kind of project or clientele. That may work for a certain, you know, a few months, but it's not going to last long. We're here to build sustainable creation practices, right? Whether they're artwork, whether it's architecture, whether it's interior design, landscape architecture, urban planning, feng shui, right? House healing, you know? This is something to build to last, because we need you. The earth needs you, and we need you to be resilient. More and more in these challenging times, the world and these energies are challenging us to they want to break us down, actually.
They break us up as well. So they help us reveal ourselves as well, I feel.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I'm interpreting and reading the signs differently now. I'm like, okay, they show me what I don't want to choose, what I'm not choosing to be. They're actually showing, helping me to see this within myself. Where am I, like this, you know, negative structures, and where can I reveal them, you know, or remove them? So we can also learn to read the things in a helpful way, not only like, oh my God, everything is attacking, or, you know, this victim. Yes. We're not victims, we're queens.
We're not victims, we're queens. Yes.
How we choose to be. Yeah. We're not reacting anymore. We're just that's important. Okay.
Wow, Anemona, this was such an amazing interview. Yeah, so rich. Thank you so much for sharing your beautiful works that birthed through as a result of communing with Artemis and Ephesus, and your amazing wisdom. And you are, again, such a gift to other artists in this world who are hearing the call to birth spirit with matter, spirit with form. And I look forward to what these seeds will unfold into over the course of this year and beyond. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Aisha. It's been a pleasure and such a joy to talk to you today. And our trip to Ephesus was amazing. So just so you know, it's like this organic mix and of the site, Aisha's coaching and everything. So this is something that is really like unique. So it's just going yourself there. That's one thing, but it's like, you know, the container that you create, the intention and everything. This is just so special. So
it's such an honor, such an honor. So listen to this woman, everyone. Yeah, again, I encourage you all to fill that application form out, and let's get on a call to explore if you're an aligned match for this container. And I look forward to serving you, serving the architectresses of the new earth. Yay!
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. Bye-bye.